you learn anything, it's a sign that your brain is still developing, rewiring, making new nerve pathways. Video games have the capacity to make deep, nearly indelible pathways in the brain. While a child's young, very flexible brain takes to this rewiring particularly well, a game like Tetris can implant itself just as well in an adult brain. Picking out patterns in little falling groups of blocks under time pressure is just simple enough for anyone to play and complicated enough to disrupt the brain's memory systems in interesting ways. This feature of Tetris has made it a candidate for some memorable brain research. Scientists now have evidence that Tetris is disruptive to the mechanisms that store and deliver so-called intrusive memories. Tetris, or something like it, may be able to help people suppress disturbing violent memories, a symptom of PTSD. Emily Holmes is at the Medical Research Council's Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit in Cambridge and is a Wellcome Trust Fellow. She says loading up the brain with Tetris, especially right after a trauma, can keep those memories from establishing themselves in deep brain pathways where they are difficult to dislodge. Emily, how did you stumble upon this here?
Well, we've been working on conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder for some time, and one of the really interesting symptoms about post-traumatic stress disorder are these intrusive memories that come back to mind when you don't want to have them, typically with contents of the traumatic event. Now, what our research has shown is that these memories are not like our kind of memories for facts and figures, they're visual memories. So it's like you can replay in your mind's eye what you saw before. Now, when we thought about how to work with these memories or the underlying mechanisms you just pointed to, we wanted to find a task that had those same sort of properties, these sort of visual, vivid, compelling properties, because what we wanted to do was exploit the brain's capacity to not be able to hold the trauma memories in mind, but hold something else that was using up the same kind of system. So Tetris is really interesting in that regard. You just mentioned the blocks you have to rotate. They're brightly different colors, red, green, yellow. They're filling up your visual field in terms of color and motion. So they give us a really nice cognitive task that's going to interfere with the same kind of storage or pathways, as you put it, that otherwise these more traumatic, intrusive emotional images would hold.
So a trauma happens, and all of a sudden these visual memories of what the person saw flood into the brain, and they don't necessarily stick right away. But if you can compete with those memories with a game like Tetris, it can keep those memories from sticking if you do it soon enough after the trauma. Is that the theory? Is that what you're trying to test here?
Well, actually, that's the first step in the theory. And yes, we have already, a couple of years ago, tested the idea if you could catch someone very soon after, and I should emphasize this is experimental trauma in the laboratory. So if you get someone to view traumatic, say, film footage, media footage, and then within that first 4 hours or so, whilst memory's consolidating, that's cementing to mind, you could use a game like Tetris to dampen down and reduce the number of intrusive memories that flash back to mind. But what's really novel and new about what we've done here is the idea that you might not only be able to do it soon after the trauma, but we've come up with a new technique for doing it even for memories that are older. So memories after that first few hour window, memories that are older than that you've slept on, and in this experiment are 24 hours old. And we're really interested in that because that taps into a whole new aspect of science, a theory called memory reconsolidation. But we're also really interested as it has future clinical potential, because a lot of people, you might not be able to reach them so soon after trauma, but you might be able to reach them a day or so later.
So you're not actually causing them to forget the memories, you're just locking them up in a different place in the brain where they're not likely to intrude on a person in daylight hours?
John, that's a really interesting point. So what we show is that you can reduce the number or the frequency of these intrusive and voluntary memories that pop back. But at the same time, our tests of deliberate memory recall show that you don't erase their memory. And that's quite important because I think people need to know what's happened. It's just that clinically what goes wrong is that the memories start intruding when you don't want them to. So I perhaps wouldn't use the words that you just said, lock up. It's more like we've dulled it or we've dampened down the intensity of the memory so they're not popping back. But you can still talk about the facts and a meaning of what was there.
Among the populations who are vulnerable to PTSD, abused children, women in difficult relationships or victims of sexual violence. And then you have soldiers who are a population that plays video games quite a lot. Can you get them away from war-related video games and allow them to explore Tetris in a useful way, do you think?
That's an interesting question. I think it's something that people could explore in future research and could certainly be a possibility, because we're not saying it's any game at all. We're showing it's this game that's particularly visual, particularly spatial. So I think that it would be really interesting in future research to look at how could we think about this in the real world. So people who've experienced rape, for example, have particularly high rates of PTSD. Are there things that one could deliver through the development of mechanism-driven research to help reduce those intrusive memories of real-world trauma?
Finally, do you have to be good at Tetris to have this feature?
That, you know what? I'm not that good at Tetris myself. People have all different sorts of play levels. The really nice thing about this game, it's adaptive, so it adjusts itself to how good you are at playing the game. And really, it's just engagement and keeping going for about 15 minutes that seems to matter. You don't have to be a Tetris expert.
All right. Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you very much, John.
Professor Emily Holmes is the Medical Research Council's Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit in Cambridge. She's also a Wellcome Trust Fellow.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.